Hello, my loves. I'm sorry if my mic sounds strange. I don't know what's going on with it. As y'all know, this has been a common theme, and I know that that's something I have to figure out very soon, but the real ones will listen either way. So today I'm presenting to you a beautiful collab episode with my friend Cam. We talk all things feminine embodiment and embracing your sexuality and your sensuality and how that really affects us as women and how we are kind of taught, not directly, but indirectly, that, you know, pleasure and connecting to that aspect of ourselves is deemed unacceptable, and how we learn to create shame around that. And it's just a really, really good episode. It's really going to open your eyes. It definitely opened mine a bunch, and I'm just so excited to explore my sensuality deeper and really connect to my feminine. So excited for you guys to listen to this. She's going to be tagged in the show notes, so give her a follow, show her some love, and enjoy the episode. I love you guys.
Yeah, let's dance with it all. I'm fully open to whatever wants to come up. So,
we start with kind of like who you are, you know, like who's Cam? Like, what do you do? Like, what is your vibe right now with business and what you do?
So someone asked the entire group this question when I went on one of my girlfriend's retreats back in June. Mm-hmm. And the catch was, who are you without the labels that make you societally successful? Like, without the doing, who are you? Yeah. So I'm going to answer with that energy.
Yeah, please.
So I feel like more than anything, I'm a being of love and like extreme radiance and light. And I created this avatar from a program I did a couple months ago, and her name's Faraja Taylor. Fucking amazing. And so my little title for her that I'm really fucking embodying right now is, she's a liberated expressionist, she's a master transfigure artist, and an oracle of God. So that's what I associate with, is I am those three things. That's the energy that I move through with, not just in business, but on the entire tapestry of life, in my relationships, in my connection with God and spirit, and in business too, in ventures.
Can you break it down for us?
Okay, yeah. So, liberated expressionist. So my ultimate goal is to just wreak havoc with raw expression. Like, I want to be able to show up in the purest form without any sort of layering, without any sort of protective mechanism that can show up as shields or masks or what's the word I'm looking for?
I want to say facade, but I don't know if that's the right word.
Well, facade too. Yeah, 100%. Facade, filter, just any sort of like layering that doesn't allow me to show up fully naked in my soul's essence.
Oh, I want you to explain and go into like what led you to that desire, because I feel like I'm going through something like that right now, really trying to fucking strip myself of all of it, and it's been very difficult. So yeah, I really just want you to expand on that.
Yeah. So I feel like when I was like a infant, it was there, obviously. I feel like it's there presently for all of us. And then once we hit like 5, 6, 7, 8, usually 7, 8, when our subconscious starts to like concretely like form, then I started to take on all the energy from my parents, which was a lot of fear of judgment on my dad's side, fear of the unknown, and fear of just like joy and pleasure on my mom's side. And that forced me to put up the barriers that I was talking about, like the layers and the masks and the facades. And that manifested as contraction and how I show up, contraction, how I feel in my own body, contraction, how I express. And we've talked about this a few times, like our similar expressive traumas that we've experienced. And just being shut down. Like my mom had narcissistic tendencies where everything that I brought up was never validated. I was never encouraged to speak my truth. I was never encouraged to be louder, be bolder, take up space, be bigger in my dreams, be more dramatic. It was always anything you say or do, at least in the mind of, you know, my inner child, is wrong. Like everything you do is wrong. You can't possibly show up the way that you want to. Like it's going to be wrong and you're going to be exiled from the family if you try to do something other than that. So that's kind of like the stories and the programs that were running through my system up until probably up until college when I had my first spiritual awakening. I feel like that's when the veil lifts and we have these realizations of, oh, I've been running on computer programs that I didn't even fucking intentionally put in my being.
Yep. Okay. Can you tell us about your first spiritual awakening?
Yes. So it's funny. I talked about this on one of my other girlfriend's podcasts. And my gateway was drugs.
Okay. We love that.
My gateway was drugs. So my first ever relationship, it was 4 years. It was from junior year of high school to sophomore year of college. So it was, you know, super, super young. But he wasn't big into drugs and things of that nature. So I latched on to how he perceived and viewed the topic. And we broke up sophomore year, between sophomore year and junior year, it was that summer. I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm a free woman. Like, let me just test out everything.
Yeah.
I went to my first festival that summer. And me and two of my other girlfriends, we were like, fuck it. Let's do acid and let's do ecstasy.
At the same time.
And that, I remember laying on the ground in the middle of that festival, just like moving my fingers through the grass, looking up at the sky, being like, everything feels so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so blissful. Like even with everything that was going on in the other pieces of my life, everything just felt so perfect.
Yeah.
That was like my first taste of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. You said you were laying down, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I have such a similar experience. And just like, they just keep coming. Everything you say, I'm like, same, same, same. Okay. But continue.
That was my first taste of the spirit, being like, holy shit, there's a part of me that isn't human and doesn't identify with the human nature. It's the part of me that is just fucking gorgeous and always has been. So it was like a re-meeting.
Yes. Oh my god. Did you explore that any further? Because I'm thinking like, you're making me realize that was my first encounter too, but I didn't realize it until you just said that. And now I'm like, I didn't explore it any further at the time because I just didn't know what the fuck it was. Like, I just said it was acid. I'm like, oh, acid's great. Ass is fun. You get what I'm saying? So now I'm like, wait, how did you go about that?
Yeah, I feel like after that, I continue to experiment. I think a couple more times, but there was no intention behind it. It was still like, let's get fucked up. Yeah. I was in that stage. I was in college, whatever.
Okay.
So that was like junior year of college, but then senior year of college was 2020.
Okay.
So when all of us like were encouraged to go in and just be with self, there wasn't a lot of social interaction. There wasn't a lot of like centric connections.
Yeah.
Because we were all just like bundled up in our homes. And so that paired with microdosing mushrooms all of 2020 is what peeled back the layers of ego and self and identification and fear and like all this like like all the gunk that was covering up spirit within my heart and within my body. And that's when I really started to come online, because there was intention behind it, there was consistency behind it, and there was a lifestyle that matched the energy that I was tapping into, rather than just a one-time festival experience that was like, let's get fucked up.
Oh my God. And were you listening to any type of content to kind of like guide you through it? Or because I know with like mushrooms and stuff, it can be confusing sometimes. Like a year ago, I had this insane trip and I just didn't, I was very confused by it. But at the same time, it's like my higher self wasn't. I just wanted to kind of like play that card of like, I don't know what that meant, so, you know, but at the same time, it was like, it was so deep. So I'm wondering if you had any content, any books, any mentor that was guiding you through the unfolding and the basically peeling back those layers, the masks and all of that.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it was self-led.
Okay.
I was first introduced to it. I found it was like mushroom honey, little microdosing honey that I would put in my coffee. Like every, I did 1 day on, 2 days off. So it was that cycle for a year. I found this company. I don't know if I should share it because they're like super low key, but I found this company on TikTok. I think I found it through, do you know who Iris Daly is?
No.
When I, or she's a big, like, she was a big TikToker, but she's the one that introduced me to shroomies.
Okay.
She was always just so radiant and bright and connected and expansive and feminine. And like, oh, I was longing for that.
Yeah.
So that's when I tapped into the shroomies.
Yeah.
But that was also the same time around August 2020 when I started to dive into self-development.
Okay.
Like really, really dive into self-development and embody it rather than just like think about it or conceptualize it and talk about it. But I binge listened to like 10 self-development books in 1 month in August of 2020.
And Oh my God. Okay. So prior to that, prior to actually embodying it, you were kind of experimenting and like listening to self-development and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But you never really embodied it. I feel like we all do that at first. And then 2020 was like, you were like, I'm ready. I'm ready to live this life.
Yeah. Towards the end of 2020, that's when I got fired from my Orange Theory job.
Okay.
Posting contradictory content on IG. And that's when I was forced to go all in with Zach.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is something we should so reflect on because we both started from the same thread.
Yeah. Yeah. So for anyone listening, Zach was actually our first business coach who helped us start our first business, which was online fitness coaching.
Yeah.
Just put that out there so people know.
Yeah, so that was back in August of 2020.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I feel like after that is when I really started to embody leadership and embody worth and embody purpose. It was more so like this masculine awakening. Like my upper energy centers, my upper chakras were connecting to spirit. So like I was getting downloads and intellectualizing the meaning of life and having all these esoteric and like cosmic conversations. And it was very heady.
Yeah.
Super heady.
Yeah. And can you go into like what it's like to not be super heady? Because I feel like you were just not there anymore. You've been on your journey longer than I've been on it, and like I see the steps, like I see you unfold, and I see you step into like the next level and the next level. I just see it all happening before my eyes, and I just think, okay, that's where I'm going. Okay, that's what's next. I'm just being completely honest. It's like this is where that goes. You know what I mean? And especially knowing that we like started in a very similar situation with our past traumas and all of that. It's like, I really just kind of like see your path, and I'm like, so that's what's next in the spiritual realm for me.
I love that. So much resonance just like landed in my body from that. So when I started to drop out of the head into the body, again, it started off as like conceptualizing and intellectualizing being in my body. And that was last year. So when I moved to San Diego, late 2021 and 2022, late 2021 into 2022, I was like intellectualizing, conceptualizing somatic play and like being in my feminine and just being this flowy angelic priestess. It was more so like light feminine. So the parts and pieces that are accepted by society that aren't typically judgmental, that are very like delicate and like, like just me, just like fairy like. So I danced with that for a little. And then when I went to India last September for a month, it wasn't anything I did specifically there, because I went and got my 200-hour yoga certification over there. It was like the energy of the land and the sacredness and like the pulses that land held, like initiated itself into my body. And I felt like just connected to the natural rhythm of life, which is more so like dancing with the darker side of the feminine, which like key feminine expression, feminine energy that's rooted, that's like very primal and animalistic. It's called dark because it's like underground. That makes sense. So I learned that the dark feminine isn't necessarily like the manipulative and the like bitchy side of feminine that I used to think it was. Okay. It's primal. It's the animalistic expression of feminine energy. That's like rooted in the earth. It's earthly. And that's why it's called dark feminine, because you think of it being as underground.
And what is embracing that?
So it's been reclaiming and liberating myself through my sexual and sensual nature and my feral nature, and owning that as pure and innocent.
So like releasing shame around your sexual nature, and like just like exploring that on your own, like just with yourself, or like with other people? Or is it like a journey that you would go on solo? You know what I mean? Like, how do you explore that?
So after I got back from India, I had this like month span where I just went all in on business, and I was more liberated in my expression. I was more bold in my expression, and I was also very like explosive in my expression, and it kind of turned into this like tornado, chaotic, I won't say mess, but art piece. Like this very chaotic. And I didn't realize that until after the fact, but I invested in one mentor's course. It was like a group program. Her name's Olivia Simone, if you know of her.
I think you told me about her last year. You told me that you were doing it. Yeah.
She really focuses on like sexual liberation and sensual liberation, and just anchoring into those facets of the feminine. I wanted that so badly because growing up too, like sexuality was always shamed, sensuality was always shamed, joy, pleasure, like genuine ecstasy, creation in my own body was just not here, not allowed. So after I got back from India, there was this like this nudge and this pulling of it's time, like it's time to reclaim the innocence and the purity that exists in our primal animalistic sexual nature. So I started working with her. Hers was more like business oriented. So it helped a little bit in that realm. And then in November, I started working with one of my other mentors, whose name is Chelsea, and she focuses more so on like God orientation with sexuality and sensuality. So really like painting sexuality and sensuality with divinity and purity. Yeah. And so I worked with her for 6 months up until this last May. And she's the one that introduced me to exercises and practices and held me through those exercises and practices that let me meet my body and let me meet my sexual nature in a really safe container. I remember the first exercise she had me do, which is super popular in all, like, I think she called it like sexology. And feminine embodiment practices is just like meeting your yoni, like meeting your pussy, and yoni gazing is what it's called. Wow. So just taking like a, I have it right here. Yeah, just taking a little handheld mirror and giving her a little look and meeting her. And I remember the first time I tried to do that, I was in my ex's bathroom. And I couldn't. I had so much shame around just having a vagina, having a yoni.
Wait, something's like, this is making so much sense. I never understood how to put this into words, but I, like, growing up, it would be like a random feeling, and it would be, I think it was shame of just being a woman. Like, I don't know how to fucking explain it. I would just be going about my day, and then this embarrassment, shame, disgust would come, like, literally take over my entire body, and I would kind of think, like, oh my God, like, oh my God, I'm a woman. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure you probably get it, but it was just like really hard to put into words. And I really couldn't think. It was just a feeling of disgust. And I didn't know what the fuck it was. And now that you're saying this, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, continue. Sorry. I just had to say that.
Oh yeah. And it's so apparent in society with women. So many women have this narrative.
Yeah.
So many.
God. And it's just because of, where does that?
So what I've learned, a lot of it comes from obviously like a male oriented society and the patriarchy, where men hold the power, and female power has always been deemed as like just destructive or not stable or not healthy or just not fit to lead. So our power was always diminished, and our power was always lessened. And over time, obviously that grew in society, and there's nuances to it too, but I'm sure there's like little textured pieces that threw in shame and guilt and all these things that have lessened our power. But what I've found through this is a woman who's connected to her yoni, a woman who's connected to her sexuality and sensuality is liberated as fuck, confident as hell, and she moves in her own way. Like, she moves through her path with her own internal direction. I'm reading Pussy right now by Regina Thomas Hauer. And She's like a big sexologist in the industry.
Okay.
I'm learning. I'm like still very new.
I mean, you sound like a fucking genius. You know so much about it.
But she calls it the GPS, the great pussy in the sky. Oh. So like how we have God and we have spirit, there's also the goddess that moves us and moves through us. And especially as women, she lives in our womb. Like we hold the whole fucking universe in our womb space. When we're not creating human life, we're creating projects and we're creating relationships and we're creating content and we're creating all these things. I know.
Crying.
I know.
Oh my God. Wow.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. So, okay. So that's feminine embodiment, basically, right? Yeah. Like reconnecting with that part of yourself. It's like different exercises and stuff. I don't really research it as much as I want to. I feel like it's the next step. Like I'm telling you, like I feel like it's, I'm like getting there and I'm starting to explore it a little bit. But if you told me to teach a lesson on it right now, I would just be like, what? How do you feel like it's helped you with like your expression and stuff like that? Like I look at you and I want to be that free, you know, like that's how I feel. So do you think that work, that feminine, dark feminine embodiment, that has helped you with feeling like you can fully express yourself on like social media and in life?
I'll speak from my experience.
Okay.
I feel like the biggest thing is, again, just connecting to the animalistic nature. Like on my background screen in my computer right now, I have this beautiful jaguar. Mm-hmm. And when I look at her, she's like, she's fierce and she's soft and she's like just full of life. And mm-hmm. she turns me on, quite frankly. Like she's just fucking hot and she's primal and she's an animal. So she's sexual and mm-hmm. she's sensual. She prowls through the jungle mm-hmm. softly and gently, but like strongly and with grounded presence. Like you can just feel her by me speaking it. Like,
yeah, literally.
She's just, and that's like really, really what I've tapped into within the realm of feminine embodiment is being connected to this animalistic nature. And I feel like at the root of things, it's being connected to the womb. And being mm-hmm. connected to that which only women have, which is a fucking pussy. And like, we have that because it's our power center. Like, there's a reason that men don't have it. We're meant to receive so much. Mm-hmm. And something I'm learning in the book Pussy is that there's 8,000 nerve endings just to the clitoris. So we are literally physiologically built to hold and sustain large amounts of pleasure. And like that too is the root of feminine embodiment, is just being in pleasure and allowing that to be safe and working through all the pieces that don't feel safe in that pleasure. Like when I first started this process, I couldn't even fucking look at my yoni in the mirror. And I remember like I would shrink anytime there was genuine pleasure. My thresholds in my container were so small.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking like pleasure sexually only, or just like pleasure in life?
All of the above.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially sexually. Like I remember like I could only orgasm with a vibrator. And when I did, I would like climax and then be like, oh no, that's too much. That's too much.
Wow. I feel like that happens to me sometimes, but then sometimes it doesn't. I swear. I hope my mom doesn't listen to this, but like, we still have some, weirdness around that, which is probably why this is like all a thing in the first place.
Yeah.
But, like some orgasms just like fail, kind of. That's how I feel. Like it's like it's like like it like dwindles down, like it was supposed to keep going, but it kind of just like I don't know, it's so weird. Okay, continue. This is so interesting. I'm obsessed.
No, just listening to like your wordplay with that, and
Yeah.
something that really stood out was like it's supposed
Damn.
to, and in my experience, supposed to, should, have to, all of those words always induce guilt or a sense of like expectation.
Yeah.
And something I'm really learning is that like climax, orgasm isn't the purpose of sexual play and sensual play. It's literally just for pleasure and
Sure.
enjoyment. And over these past months, almost a year now, I've been diving into pleasure practices like a few times a week, a couple times a week. And my intention is to just go in and just be present with where the energy is moving in my body. And it's like I'm not focusing on orgasm. Sometimes I still do, like I'm moving through it, I'm not perfect. But it's more so focused on like sensual pleasure. Like, how can I explore? Oh, my sound bowl's just. How can I make this feel a little bit better? Like, how can this feel a little bit better? Like, Regina Thomas Hauer, they call her Mama Gina, but she talks about like focusing on making every stroke or every like movement feel pleasurable, because it's all mental. It's all mental. And I recognize the more that I'm dropped into my root, in my womb, in my breath, and my awareness is like down in my body rather than up here, the more I can experience getting off on every stroke, which can mean like just touch from self, whatever. But
If you okay, so what do you think about like being able to get turned on by like someone else's touch versus like your own?
so
That
yeah,
okay.
I love this question, because I feel like I've just started getting back into experiencing other people's touch, and I'm able to appreciate it so much more and hold it so much deeper because of the practice that I've been doing with myself and the commitment and the containers I've been holding to allow myself to experience deeper pleasure within my own touch. So, like, oh my God. Like, the last couple guys I've been dating, like, I'm just playing with it right now. I'm just dating around. It's really fun. It's super playful. And yeah, it's super, super fun. But like the makeout sessions, I can tell, like, I know. They're just like much juicier because I'm allowing myself to like soften into this puddle of mush and just let the pleasure move, rather than letting my mind be like, oh, like maybe if I do this or this or this or this or this, like it's less about performance and looking, and it's more about dropping into my body and being like, oh, like what is she like? Yeah, like really dropping into it.
I saw someone post the other day about like touching your own body, like softly. It was like an embodiment practice, and I was like, oh, okay, like let me try that. So I tried it, and like I'm in that phase where I just feel like it's like I don't know, like I'm in my head. I'm in
Yeah.
my head, and I just it's so weird because like I use my vibrator all the time, and I'm like used to it, you know? It's just like it's like bae. But I never really knew what I was doing. Like I wasn't like aware that I was like connecting to my feminine. And now I'm realizing I'm like I'm just like laying here and using my vibrator, and I'm not really tapping into my body. There's no pleasure in that. Like you said, I'm just thinking about the orgasm. I read this article in college randomly, and it was like, people who orgasm every day live longer. And I was like, okay, bet. So I started doing it. And now I'm like I'm friends with you. I look at your content. I don't follow many people that talk about this stuff. And when I'm exposed to this information, I'm starting to open my mind up a little bit. And I'm like, it feels right. Very awkward. It feels very like, I remember actually I worked with a fitness coach, and she was like, I was like having a bad body image day. And she was like, touch your body. And I felt so awkward when she said that. I was like, what do you mean touch my body? This was like a year ago or a little more than a year ago. I felt uncomfortable that she told me that, because I was just thinking of her, thinking of me touching my body. Like, that's how disconnected I was. And now I'm like talking about it in a podcast, which means I'm making progress.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of the erotic blueprint.
No.
So it's a quiz. I can't remember her name, but I watched Sex, Love, Goop last week. It's like 6 episodes on Netflix, and it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
You would love it. You would love it. Yeah. Just
for like, I should watch it alone, like for like a me thing, or should I watch it with like Peter?
I mean, if Peter's interested, fuck yeah. It's just like super informational and allows you to dive into experiences of like 5 different couples that explore their sex lives deeper.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's awesome. Super liberating. And like some of the things they do in there, like experimenting with touch, where they had this basket of 10 different tools with 10 different textures, and you just practice like feeling it, the blindfold, to feel into what feels good for you. Yeah. And we don't know like what will feel good for us until we play around with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, you and Peter probably fuck around with that like real nicely, but
like, I feel like that'd be really nice. Wow. Okay. I'm definitely gonna look into it.
Yeah. Sex, Love, Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow, love her. And I feel like I've learned this from the 2 mentors I've worked with. Mm-hmm. Feminine embodiment has 3 strong anchoring points to drop into the body, and that's breath, sound, and movement.
Okay.
So if like we're ever in our head up here, you know, our eyes are taking the majority of the senses, like dropping into a belly breath and moving the energy from up here to down in your womb and in your root to create that safety.
Uh-huh.
And sound too. I'm still working on sound because I live with other people, so I don't want to like you know, but like allowing yourself to experiment with sound, and again, not just performatively, but like organic. Mm. It feels like you're meeting thresholds. Like you're meeting these walls, you're meeting the edges. Like each time we meet the edge, mm-hmm. we're like a little bit wider each time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And baby pushies that bring it out. And like you said, just speaking about it on the podcast is pushing an edge.
Yeah.
So it's you're widening the container to hold more of you.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I've never talked about an orgasm ever in public. Yeah. Well, no, I've definitely talked about it with my friends, but on a podcast or like on Instagram, like nothing. Like that's something that I think about my mom hearing me, and I feel like so embarrassed and so shameful. We've never had a conversation about sex. Like she told me babies were made by like laying in a bed together naked, like, so I don't even know why she even said it. I don't even know why we had the talk if she wasn't going to be honest, but I found out right away that that's not true, right? So I think as a kid, I think that's where the shame kind of stemmed from, because I'm like, well, she wasn't honest about it. This is something that we should feel really fucking uncomfortable about, right? Because I felt my mom's discomfort as a child because her best friend's kid, we were playing, and he's like, I know where babies are made or how babies are made. And I was like, so do I. And then he's like, you go first. And I told him, and he's like, that's not how they're made. And I was like, what? So his mom told him the truth, right? And my mom lied to me. And I was just like, what? So then we just like never talked about it ever again. And now she'll say certain things about it. Like she doesn't give a fuck anymore. She'll say stuff and it just makes me uncomfortable. I'm just like, no, please stop, please. So it's definitely something that I think I've had shame around, and talking about it in public means that she might hear it. And just even the thought of like having a baby, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, if I'm pregnant, she's going to know I had sex to get here. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's just so mind fucking, and I don't want to feel like that anymore. And there's like this side of me that can really like connect to people when it comes to that. And I just don't do it. And I literally feel like I can't sometimes. Like, that part of me is going to be suppressed forever. I'm so open and I don't give a fuck with my family things for the most part when it comes to content. But sex, that's one thing that I really have to work on. I'm so happy we're talking about this.
Yeah.
I'm like, and so happy.
It aligns so perfectly because, again, both of us have experienced a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
And one of the beautiful things about this that I've learned in the past couple of months going back home for my first time with my heart open was giving ourselves permission to experiment and play with all these textures of ourself and pieces of ourself gives our parents permission to, rather than waiting for them to give us permission.
Ooh. Oh my God.
So here's your permission slip.
That's insane. I love that so much. I mean, I'm literally an adult.
Fucking getting married, bitch. Like,
I know. Like, oh my God. That's insane. And I see so many people who express themselves fully in that way on social media, and they do it. They're doing it. They're proof that you can do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's this shameful part of me that is like, why can't I do that? Why am I in this place where I'm caring so much about what my mother fucking mom thinks about me, you know? And it causes me to feel like a little embarrassed. And then I'm like, let's not think about that. Set under the rug. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, not really showing that part of myself or whatever. Anytime anybody is open about sex, like, I feel like I can really trust them.
Yeah, and I think an awesome realization that I've had is, like, since diving into this for myself, I've recognized every single human is a sexual being.
Yeah.
I mean, there's asexuality, too, where some people just don't enjoy sex, and, like, that's cool. But for the majority of the population, we're all sexual beings. Like, we're all fucking alive because of sex. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on, dude. Like,
it's so true.
I feel like there's definitely shame within men when it comes to performance.
Yeah. You know,
like, mm-hmm. I can't turn my woman on. Or like, mm-hmm. I can't, so yeah. I feel like it's more performative.
Mm-hmm.
The masculine, for there's definitely performance than us too. Like, I used to fucking fake every single orgasm.
Yeah, sorry guys,
I, you know, whatever. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of fucking shame just around the female body. I remember I used to think that, like, my yoni was like gross and repulsive, disgusting. It had to look a certain way and it had to smell a certain way and it had to, you know, they're just, I don't know where it comes from other than societal patriarchal pieces. But it's, yeah, literally just being a woman is shameful.
Yeah.
So that's what we're here to break.
That's what I want. So right now, like, if you were to take on a private client, this is the work that you would do with them, right? Or like, what work do you do with them? I should ask.
I'm in a transitory period right now because, so I closed the last business, mindset coaching, back in February. And after that, I like dropped my identity as a business owner or needing to be that label, needing to be a coach, needing to be a mentor. I was just so surrendered to God's plan and God's speed. And I remember there were many, many moments, many, many nights where I was like, God, if you want me to be a barista, like I will be a barista for you. Like there's no job is too small in the eyes of God, mm-hmm. is what I learned. So I was just super, super, I know. I know. Yeah. It's so squishy.
God, I love you. Okay.
So I surrendered. I surrendered everything, every single piece of my life. And a big part of that was business. And my heart offerings is what I like to associate it with, rather. And then I got like one new client a month that has been in my field for a while, really focused on just like women diving into their intuitive nature, mm-hmm. and opening up their heart and just opening up herself to her own path and paving her own path and helping other women do the same. Mm-hmm. And then the past few months, God has dropped in men into my field and guiding men into their feminine nature. And that's been so healing, so rewarding, so expansive on both ends, because not only am I helping them surrender and soften into being held by God, but it's also healing my relationship with my dad. And it's so beautiful, and I don't take a single piece of it for granted. I have so many chills right now. Like I feel so blessed to be able to hold such a safe container for these men that want to put like place their heart on the altar with me, yeah. and meet spirit with me. So I know, baby, it's so special. It's so special.
I feel like they need it so bad, and they just like don't know where to start.
Yeah,
and I saw a testimonial that you posted the other day when the guy was like, he wasn't gonna like leave his wife or something like that. I was like, oh my God. When I read that, I was like, oh man, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's like, I'm still trying to put words on exactly what I do now, because it's changed so drastically since giving it all up on the altar. But I really help people come back. That's why I changed. It's not just feminine embodiment anymore. It's like God and feminine embodiment. I help people come back to the guidance and connection with God in their own bodies and in their own hearts. Like that's at the basis of what I do. And everything else unfolds outside of that, connecting to intuition, liberating sensuality and sexuality, liberating expression, transfiguring shadows into light.
Wow.
Yeah, basically just walking the illuminated path of self.
That's so beautiful. Oh my God. And it's like, I feel like you're the perfect example, because so many people, they grow and they learn so much about themselves, and then they feel like they can't pivot, or they feel like this is that one thing that they have to do forever. And the thought of like starting over new is crippling. And I get it, because I've been there, and it can feel so unsafe to just knock something that you've built up down, you know. It can feel so scary, especially if you don't have a spiritual connection, or your spiritual connection isn't strengthened yet, or you like played around with it and it's like, oh, that's fun, yeah, that's nice, you know, and then shit hits the fan, things get real, things need to crumble, and then it's like, well, does God hate me? Like, am I being punished? Why is everything falling apart? You know, you just trust, and you just keep moving, and you're like, oh, this is not working now. Okay, this is not for me. Okay, next. Like, let's just move into it. You don't stay stuck in a place where you know you're not meant to be. I feel like naturally as humans, we change, we grow. And the stuff that we were once teaching on, helping people with, creating a fucking business and most people an identity around, like that is going to change. So how do you navigate when things start changing within? Like, how do you navigate the external? And a lot of people are just not realizing that that's kind of like coming for them. And a lot of people are going to resist it. And then they're going to end up just staying in a business that they fucking hate.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big piece of like what I guide through and what I teach is people come to me in one specific career or one specific way of being in a relationship. I used to joke about in the last business that I had, when you come, it was called the Mindset Movement. When you come to the Mindset Movement, you either break up with your boyfriend, you leave your job, you move, or you do all three. Like we met these people at thresholds that just needed someone to walk next to them into the next. And I still take that into what I do for sure. Like these major thresholds are an invitation to jump.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, trust, because there's always a feather landing. God just wants you to have some free fall. He's the one that's pushing you off.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants you to trust a little bit more. Yeah.
Oh my God. This has been so good.
Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to say about like the dynamic dance with changing, especially in business. So I wanted to say screw it to a business name for good because I felt like I was restrained from expanding past those walls and those edges. Because for a while it was the Mindset Movement. So it was mindset. Everything was mindset. Mm-hmm. And that didn't resonate with every piece of my being. Mm-hmm. I am a manifesting generator for one. So I like to dip my toes in a lot of things. I follow my excitement and I do leave some projects unfinished and move on to the next. And like, I've accepted that. That's okay. Like I operate very differently from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about me. And so I wanted to invite a new way of creation in service to who I'm meant to serve in a way that allowed a dynamic dance to take place. Mm-hmm. So like, if I want to create a program for sensual and sexual liberation, I can 1 week. And if I mm-hmm. want to create a program to connect with God, I can. Like,
yes.
there's so much, especially as women, like there's so much depth and breadth and just like expansiveness within our being and within our existence that it would almost be like unhelpful not to share all the pieces of self,
mm-hmm.
not to share all the learnings, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, we're here to help the collective rise and the collective grow and to be of service.
Mm-hmm.
Love to God, and that means dancing with all the things that God wants you to share. And this season of my life is so different because I feel like for the past 3 years I've always had a mentor or always had a program.
Mm-hmm.
The first time that God is my only mentor.
Ooh, so much.
It's so liberating because it allows you to trust self.
Exactly. Recent hard times really just pushed me into that in a way where it's like, okay, this is it. This is where I fully lean on God and actually really truly trust. And I created this relationship that I've never had with spirit before. And of course, you know, it was through like something hard. Like I had to really find that through the hardship, but that's why I'm so fucking thankful for the hardship, because I've never experience anything like this. I feel so held. So held. And I didn't feel like that for so long, like for most of my life, you know? It's just very much me against the world, and that is not a safe place to be. Like, it doesn't, it feels like everything is crashing on you all the time. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust the path. You can't trust anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I'm like, you know, working on sharing that with the world. And did you ever feel resistance with talking about this kind of stuff, about trusting God and building a relationship with their spirituality? Was that always like?
Absolutely not, dude.
Okay, good. Neither.
Absolutely not. Like, especially just with the term God. I grew up not really allowing, not being allowed to believe in God.
Wow.
My stepdad grew up Jehovah's Witness, and I lived with my mom and my stepdad for the majority of my life. I would see my dad, you know, sporadically here and there. Uh-huh. And so he grew up Jehovah's Witness, and they don't celebrate birthdays. They don't celebrate holidays. You can't play community sports. You can't hang out with anyone outside of the church. Like, you can't be friends with anyone outside of the church. So it was like very constrained and like restrictive and dogmatic. And so if I want to say like 7-8 years ago, his mom got diagnosed with some sort of blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to clear it out and save her life was to get a blood transfusion. And they don't believe in blood transfusions. So his mom passed because of her religious beliefs. And so, I mean, I have so much compassion for my stepdad now. When I talked to him about it, when I went home a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
But he didn't want us to adopt religious beliefs or ideologies or practices because he didn't want to lose us too.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much compassion for that. Like, I can't even imagine what he went through growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I always grew up wanting to go to, did you have Young Life growing up? Like, yeah. The
Gen Life?
Young Life?
Never heard of that.
And I think it was like a Christian, it was a summer camp, and they also had like after school events and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. It was, you just play games with a bunch of people. They would say a prayer at the end, then you get free Chick-fil-A. Like, all my friends would go, and I was like, fuck yeah, I want free Chick-fil-A. Like, the fuck? But my stepdad would never let me go.
Yeah.
Why do you want to go? Like, no, you're not going. And there was always a lot of like criticism and judgment and like belittling of my curiosity around God and spirituality and religion. I wouldn't even categorize myself as religious at all. And like now, mm-hmm. But I had a curiosity to connect in that way when I was younger. And that was always blocked off. He would always like scuff it off, like just like laugh about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my last partnership that ended last December that I realized that came through. I remember we were laying in bed one night, and I think he still is, super Southern Baptist Christian. So they're like, they believe strongly in their beliefs, like very, very strongly. And he was talking about something, and I remember I was like giggling and like scoffing it off, like whatever. He was like, do you notice that anytime I talk about Christianity, you like scoff it off and treat it as a joke, but when someone brings up like Hinduism or Buddhism or any other religion, there it's just like whatever, like you go with it. I was like, and it like took me by surprise. I was like, no, I honestly hadn't realized that. And I had this breakdown moment. I remember crying in his arms because my stepdad never allowed me to explore that version of myself that was super, super curious and yearning of that connection when I was younger. So it wasn't until then that the term God in those type of that like Christian terminology or religious terminology really lifted for me, like the energy over it really lifted for me. And then I had an experience in the middle of December when I was driving to the beach one night to watch the sunset. Mm-hmm. And I had watched one of the women that I follow on Instagram, her stories before I left. And she was playing this really beautiful, melodic, gentle song in the background of her story. And I was like, oh, like this is hitting. I like this. And so I searched it on my way to the sunset. It started playing and it was a worship song. So, and I didn't realize it, but it started saying like Jesus and God and just all the religious Christian terminology. And there was a part of me that softened around that and within that for the first time in my entire life. And in that second, in that fucking second, I felt God in my body, in my heart for the first time in my entire life. And there was no other word I could put on it other than God. It was just this vast amount of love that I couldn't possibly create only within myself.
Oh my God. And then so did it take long before you started actually verbalizing it and like saying the word? Or were you just kind of like, all right, God?
A little bit. I sat on it for a little bit, but it wasn't until I blocked all of my family on Instagram. I really started to like,
yeah,
a sense. And I messaged them with love, every single one of them, before I blocked them. I was like, hey, I'm stepping into this new version of myself that I'm, you know, still exploring. It's going to be easier for me and best for me if I block all of my family, and then when I feel comfortable again, I'll let you guys back in. Mm-hmm. So I like set boundaries to keep more love rather than set walls to that's been really helpful because they know I'm exploring and they know I'm tapping into pieces of myself that they may not, you know, have felt comfortable to tap into. And it allows me to feel safer if I can do that without their eyes.
Yeah. Wow. So good. I can't wait to edit this baby and like listen back on it and just enjoy it for a second time. I love you so much. Thank you. Do you have anything else to like add in? I don't want to cut you short.
I think the only thing, can I plug myself?
Yes, please. Plug her in.
Well, if any of this resonates with you or your heart is feeling drawn and yearning to go deeper within your connection to spirit, body, sexuality, sensuality, one of my most sacred containers that I host is a retreat in Sedona, and I'm hosting it for a second time, January 2024. And you can sign up for the waitlist through the link in my bio on Instagram at Cameron.Schulsinger, and I'm sure Jada will put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'll copy and paste it into the show notes.
But it is one of the most beautiful containers full of God, love, reverence, softness, and power that I've ever been a part of and ever co-created in tandem with God. And it's so special to me. And I'm also accepting one-on-one clients. So if you felt called to that too, that's always open. You can shoot me a message and we can connect. But
I love it. And then obviously her Instagram will be linked in the show notes as well. This is my favorite account to follow. I love reading your poetic captions. They're so good.